Well, North Korea is at it again on Saturday, carrying out more missile tests, or perhaps projectile tests, seems a more accurate description. This comes just after the recent testing of what people have been telling us is a guided cruise missile test. Now, after the breakdown of talks between Trump and Kim in Vietnam in February, are these signs of a renewed instability on the Korean Peninsula? Are we again approaching the fevered threats of fire and fury, the dire warnings that were suddenly cut short by that unexpected Trump-Kim bromance that flowered last year? Well, Robert E. Kelly has a view. Professor Kelly is at the Department of Political Science and Diplomacy at South Korea's Pusan University. Professor Kelly, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me.
Now, to borrow from the great Jack Nicholson, war, peace, which one of these?
A peace. This is not going to sort of bring us back to 2017. I think Trump had a window there of maybe 6 months or 8 months where if he wanted to start a conflict or launch airstrikes or something like that, he might have been able to do it. If he does it now, he would meet, you know, enormous resistance among American allies out here, China and others. So no, I think Trump is sort of stuck with the diplomatic track. But I think the missile launch, the recent missile launch, shows that Trump hasn't really been able to make a great deal out of it. So honestly, it's probably just the status quo.
So let's try and get into the thinking of Kim Jong-un. He has done a few things in the last few weeks, not just had now two different tests of some sort of ordnance, but also he's gone off and had his first ever meeting with Vladimir Putin. What's going on in his head?
I think the Putin meeting is basically designed to sort of pressure the other players in the region to come around. Now that North Korea has nuclear weapons, right, I think what they're doing is sort of shopping around looking for a deal. They're not going to give them all up, obviously. They get great security benefits from keeping them, right? And what they really wanted to deal with the Americans, and Trump, as you said during your report, sort of walked out on Hanoi, which was sort of a real embarrassment for North Korea. Nobody really quite knows, even now, you know, quite what to make of what happened in Hanoi. And I think the North Koreans are sort of pushing around, right? They're sort of meeting with everybody, trying to sort of like shake the table and get some responses. Trump is the big fish, of course, right? That's what they really want. But, you know, if the North Koreans will meet with anybody, right, and try in an effort to sort of set the regional players against each other and try to get better deals from each of them.
So you have written about what you call costly signals, and that is that in a diplomatic process, there's a bit of a dance and little concessions are made and all kinds of bit of dressing up goes on. What matters are the costly signals. What do you mean by that?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, something really big and something substantial and important, right? I mean, if North Korea really wants some kind of accommodation with the democratic states, which is to say the U.S., South Korea, and Japan, those are the ones that really matter, right? If North Korea really wants some kind of accommodation where, you know, the border gets demilitarized and we have a more normal relationship with North Korea, then, you know, we need the North Koreans to actually tell us that they've changed, that they're not quite the Orwellian tyrannical monarchy they've been in the past, which of course they still really are. And so we need North Korea to actually give up something that's meaningful and not just sort of like these minor sort of like smokescreen small time concessions like family reunions and releasing Western hostages and stuff like that. That's all fine, but none of that really cuts to the core strategic issues, the most obvious, which is that North Korea now has functional nuclear warheads and could do a great deal of damage, and so and missiles to place them on. And so that's what we really need to see, is the North Koreans actually move on these strategic issues, and they haven't. And I think this is one of the reasons why Trump is so frustrated, right? He's been working on this issue now for 2.5 years, and he kind of doesn't really have much to show for it.
Well, if they haven't made these costly signals, haven't given up anything that's irreversible and central to strategy, what then can we say is the North Korean strategy?
My own thinking is that the North Koreans, now they have the nuclear weapons, are basically going to sort of hang on, weather the diplomatic storm, and eventually all of us will have to adjust to the reality of North Korea as a nuclear power. This is what Pakistan did when it got nuclear weapons in the late 1990s. There was a similar furor. People worried that there's going to be a nuclear war in South Asia and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Pakistan has state instability problems. People thought, oh, you know, there's nukes going to get lost or sold to terrorists or something. And, you know, the Pakistanis just sort of dug in and they held on. And, you know, 5-6 years later, people just stopped talking about it. Life moved on. New issues came up. People got exhausted worrying about something that didn't turn into anything. And I think that's what the North Koreans want. I think they're willing to negotiate a little bit on the edges. I do actually think if Trump offers them something good enough, that might actually give us some warheads or close some facilities or something like that. But I think the medium-term game on the North Korean part is sort of dig in and hold until all of us and the rest of the world just get exhausted, freaking out about this. Ah, they've got nukes, right? And we all just kind of adjust to it in the next couple of years and say, oh, okay, let's move on.
So he's still a relatively young man, Kim Jong-un. He could possibly be there as the hermit king, if you like, for 50 years. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
Is he looking at reform? Is that his strategic goal in the course of his lifetime? Or bedding in, locking down what he's got and saying, this is what I am, get used to it, it ain't changing?
On the nuclear weapons, the latter, right? I mean, they're not going to, that's something, I mean, I hate to say this because I don't want to sound like I'm sort of a defeatist or something, but North Korea is not going to go to zero on nuclear weapons. They're just not going to do it. And I don't know why the Americans and others keep insisting on sort of this complete and total and irreversible disarmament. The North Koreans are never going to do that. What we should look for is some kind of like workable deal, or maybe they give us, I don't know, 20 or 30% of their stockpile and we give them something really big in return, probably a whole bunch of cash and sanctions relief and other things. That's probably the best that we can get. But for the long-term stability of North Korea, right, its ability to defend itself against its many opponents, right? I mean, North Korea is kind of like a really hated regime, right? A lot of people don't like it for its sort of weird internal dynamics, right? The human rights stuff and everything. And so nuclear weapons are central to that, right? Nuclear weapons are like ultimate security for a regime that's really loathed in the world.
So if there's no major strategic shift happening, that human rights and that sort of stuff, as you point out, it's going to continue to be pretty miserable in North Korea into the foreseeable future.
Yeah, North Korea is pretty stable, which is something that we've all kind of learned in the last 25 years, right? I mean, in the 1990s, there was lots and lots of talk that North Korea was going to go the way of East Germany. It was going to implode. It was going through this famine and had all these structural problems. And a lot of this is still there, actually. But North Korea has persisted. And I think we just need to get used to the fact that it's going to be around for a while. That's one of the reasons why maybe we should deal with North Korea, because otherwise, the alternative is just infinite containment. That's not actually a bad outcome either, but we probably could deal with North Korea. But no, it's going to be around for a while, like you said. I mean, he's young, he's got the nukes, you know, he's settling in, he's trying to reform the economy and open it up a little bit, and that should keep North Korea around for a while.
Miserable prospects for those in the gulags. Professor Robert E. Kelly from Pusan University, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.